And maybe about sleepless as well. But we didn't get to speak about sleepless at all on Thursday.
Yeah, we didn't get to this. Let's try to address both in one shot. There is a discussion the post can try to figure out. There's a piece about it in the Shagas Aryeh. Yor Sameach has a discussion about it. Others have taken up the question also. Is there a mitzvah of simcha regarding Rosh Hashanah? Now we know there's an expression regarding the secular New Year. So people say to each other, Lahavdil, people say, Happy New Year. So we know that there are many tremendous differences, to say the least, between how January 1st is celebrated and how Tishrei the 1st is celebrated. But this phrase, Happy New Year, just to zone in on that, does that have any relevance at all to our New Year observance? So it seems to reflect the question of the concept of Simcha, which we discussed a little bit on Thursday, is a major theme in a lot of this past Shabbos' Parsha, certainly in the first Aliyah that we discussed on Thursday. So the question of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah specifically is one the post can try to figure out. Because on the one hand, it seems as if there's a svara halachically and hashgafically to say that there is Simcha, and it seems as if there's a svara halachically and hashgafically to go the other way also. Why would you say halachically that there is Simcha? We know there's a concept of Simcha Zantiv, Samachta B'chagacha, and Rosh Hashanah seems to be a yantif in practice, seems to have the halachas of yantif for the most part, so maybe there should be simcha, yeah?
Even with regard, even in light of the fact that the Maamar Chazal, we don't say halach.
Oh, so I've got to get to these details, but on the surface, one would think that maybe there should be simcha because it seems to follow the pattern of a yantif. On the other hand, simcha in the context of simcha's yantif might be inextricably connected to Shalmei Simcha. And we know that we don't have Shalmei Simcha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We have them only on the Regalim. So therefore, maybe halachically, we don't have a concept of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. So halachically, you could see it either way. And thematically, you could see it either way also, because on the one hand, getting a new lease on life is something to celebrate. A new year of opportunity is definitely something to mark with positivity, and the Gemara even says that the two happiest days in the year, one of them is Yom Kippur, and that's the obvious one, the Gemara says. Yom Kippur is clearly a happy day because it's Yom Mechilu Slichut Kapara. So there is a reason to rejoice at this time. However, on the other side, it is very scary, and in English we call them the days of awe, which seems to suggest that they are awful. Not awful isn't bad, but filled with awe, meaning that they are scary. Yom Noroim is the Hebrew phrase. So maybe that's not compatible with rejoicing. So if we're not sure where to go with this, so we need to find some halachic clues. So where can we find clues? So the first area we always like to turn to is food. And so is there a obligation of a suda on Yantif, that is Rosh Hashanah? Or, alternatively, is there a prohibition to fast on Rosh Hashanah? So what's the answer? What's the answer to every question? Machlokas. But here, it's not two opinions. There are at least six opinions on this question. What are the six opinions? There are those who say that you can fast on Rosh Hashanah. There are those who say that you should fast on Rosh Hashanah. And those who say you may not fast on Rosh Hashanah. That's three. Then there are in-between opinions. There are those who say that you can fast the second day but not the first, which is interesting. There are those who say that you can fast half a day, which is actually pretty helpful. Because we know on Shabbos we're not supposed to fast even half a day. So we try to make Kiddush before Chatzos. And Rosh Hashanah, it's much harder to get out of the shul before Chatzos, so much longer davening, so to say that we're not prohibited to fast half a day is helpful, because it's actually challenging to work out everything on Rosh Hashanah in terms of the tikkias and in terms of not fasting. So to have a heter to fast half a day is actually pretty helpful, if that's the position to adopt. And the sixth opinion is there are those who say that only very special tzaddikim are allowed to fast, and the average person shouldn't. The Shita Mekubetzos and Masechta Beitzah. So that doesn't help us, right? We're looking to this din for a clue, and it doesn't take us anywhere. We are more confused than we were before. Six opinions. And the Shulchan Aruch, he paskins, Oichel Nushosin Usmeichin Barash Hashanah, that we should eat and drink and be merry. So it sounds like he's taken aside. However, there's another issue that might be a clue. What about the Nusach HaTefillah? Now, when it comes to Nusach HaTefillah, so on Yontif, we have expressions of Simcha, such as V'hatzienu. In Kiddush, we say Sasanu Simcha. So what about Rosh Hashanah? Should we have these additions into our davening? So, what's the answer to that? It's Machlokas. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins that we don't say Sasanu and Simcha. So that sounds like a stira, right? So the Shulchan Aruch a minute ago said, but we don't say Sasan and Simcha in Kiddush. So again, we're more confused than we were before. So what about what Mori brought up? What about Hallel? Right, that should tell us something, because Hallel is usually an expression of Simcha. So as Mori pointed out, there's a Gemara Maseches Erchin that almost helps us, but then maybe also leaves us a little bit in the middle. Because the Gemara says that the Jews are criticized for not saying Hallel and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. How could they leave out such a thing? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu defends us, and he says, Melech Malchei Hamlochim Yeshiv Al Kisei Adid. God is sitting on his throne of judgment. V'Sifrei Chaim V'Sifrei Meisim P'suchim Lefanav, the Book of Life and the Book of Death, they're open in front of him. V'Atem Ha'imim Shira. And you're going to say Shira is such an opportunity? So what does that tell us? I don't know. Sounds like maybe Hallel would have made sense. But there's something stifling us. So there is Simcha. It's a stifled Simcha. Not clear what to do with that. And then you have the Rambam, who formulates the same din in a different way. The guy gets us so close to an answer. Rambam says that there are certain days that say Hallel. He lists these off in Hilchos Chanukah, actually. He lists off all the days that you say Hallel, you don't say Hallel. And he says, okay, here are the days when you say Hallel, and not on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because these are days of Eima, Uyir, Upachad, and not days of Simcha, that much. We're so close. And then he stops it. Not days of Simcha, Yisera. So what do you do with that?
This is not days of Simcha Yisera?
Right. So there is Simcha, it's not a lot of Simcha. Also, so close to an answer, and it veers away from a conclusion. Yeah?
Maybe we're going to touch on it, but the concept of Rosh Hashanah also being a day of coronation.
Okay.
Some aspects of that.
So how does that impact on whether it's a Simcha or not?
It would be hard to say that. I mean, I guess maybe you could touch the feeling of, like, we're coronating God as, like, an Eman Pachad feeling. Mm-hmm. Also, I mean,
well, in America, when they have Inauguration Day, they have many, many dances. Many celebrations. Right, so is coronation per se a source of impeding Simcha? Maybe Yom HaDin is enough to scare us a little bit. So the Rambam, in a different way than the Gemara, but essentially landing in the same place, leaves us still stuck. Right? There is Simcha, there's not enough Simcha. And the Brisker Rav says maybe there's a threshold of Simcha that you need in order to say Hallel, and Rosh Hashanah has Simcha, but on the Simcha meter, it doesn't make it all the way up. Not clear what to do with that. So in the Tshuvas of Shammai Kohos Gross, this is a Dayan from Bells, he quotes a pshat from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, in his commentary to Megillas Esther, the Vilna Gaon explains what is the difference between the word Sasan and the word Simcha. There are many suggestions as to that point. They seem to be related but different terms. The Gemara in the end of Masechet Sukkah contrast the two. So what exactly is the difference? So the way the Vilna Gaon understood it, it says that Sason is rejoicing in the moment, while Simcha is more about a positive sense, kind of in the long run. You're not necessarily partying right now, but you have a overall sense of positivity. I would compare it to if somebody was eating steak, so then that's Sason. If you give somebody a gift certificate to have a free steak every night for the next month, so then that's Simcha.
Teach a man to steak.
So doesn't necessarily have the steak right now, but the knowledge that he has all this waiting for him. So that's a sense of Simcha. So he uses this, the Shevet HaKohasi, to explain the issue in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch saying that we do have Simcha in Rosh Hashanah, so we should eat. But we don't say Sason in Simcha because it's not a day of Sason. The regalim are Sason days. One has to rejoice on Sukkot. One has to rejoice on Pesach. But on Rosh Hashanah, it's not a Sason day, but it is a Simcha day. It's a happy day, but it's a day where the happiness comes from your confidence in the overall destination of the tshuva process, but not because you are rejoicing right now. So that could explain a few things. But let's say, to focus specifically on the question of Suda and of eating, and maybe more narrowly on the position that you could fast, you don't have to fast, not a mitzvah to fast, but it's not prohibited either, you could. What does that suggest to us? So the whole concept of eating on Yontif, the notion that we have a Suda to fulfill Simchas Yontif, this is Machlokas Rishonim. The Rambam understood that it's only a kiyum of Simcha Derabanan, that in order to have Simcha Deraisa, one needs the Shalmei Simcha. And the Tosfos and Masechet Maikatan disagreed. But one way or another, the notion of the Suda as a kiyum of Simcha. So here, as Rav Soloveitchik explained, this is a special type of mitzvah relationship that the vast majority of mitzvos, you perform an action, and that is a kiyum ha-mitzvah. So you do the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah, and simultaneously you are mekayim the mitzvah. But there are a handful of mitzvos, and it's interesting, a number of them happen to be relevant to the Elul Tishrei season, so we may have an opportunity to draw on this again in the next few days. But there are a handful of mitzvos where the Maisa and the Kiyum are at a slight distance from each other. That you do the Maisa in order to bring about a Kiyum. So this is particularly relevant if you have a mitzvah that seems more emotional or internal in nature. So it's not something we can just command you to turn on and turn off. We can say, do a mitzvah, don't do an Aveira, but feel a certain way. It's hard to command. So we have to deal with it at a remove. We have to say, do this action, which is generally correlated to this emotion. So have a suda, have basur v'yayin, in the hope that that will bring about a feeling of simcha. So it would seem that that's the path, both for the regalim and for Rosh Hashanah also, and maybe even for Yom Kippur. Maybe we'll talk about this, but it's not so pashut that there's no suda on Yom Kippur, as funny as that sounds, because possible that the eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a suda of Yom Kippur. Maybe we'll have the opportunity to discuss that a little bit between now and then. But the concept of the suda as a means to an end is perhaps true both for the Golem and Rosh Hashanah, but it's slightly different. They're related, but they're slightly differentiated from each other. That in the case of the regalim, so we have an obligation of sason. So you have to be enjoying yourself right now. So fasting would be incompatible with sason. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's not really about enjoying yourself right now. It's about engendering a positive attitude overall. So for most people, that suda will also be a way of bringing you to that point. But you can imagine somebody who might feel differently, somebody who might say that I'm concerned about the path of my tshuva, and if I can chapa fast today, as a way of advancing my tshuva process, I will feel better about things. So for that person, the fasting might be more conducive to the simcha that is distinct to Rosh Hashanah than eating might be. And this is evocative of the Gemara Maseches Tainis, when the Gemara says that if somebody has a bad dream and it greatly anguishes them, so then a fast is recommended the next day. And the Gemara says, even if it's Shabbos, you have a dream Friday night, you wake up Shabbos morning, so it's still recommended to fast that day to nullify the dream. The Gemara says, ultimately, you have to fix that. It's not perfect, so it should be Yoshev Tainis Latanis. So you have to fast to repent for your fast, but in the moment, it may be the right move. And the Rishonim explained that it's not that we ignore Shabbos. It's that Shabbos, which has a requirement of oneg, is a little different. But Shabbos is about oneg. So most people attain the state of oneg through eating. That to fast on Shabbos, for the most part, would be incompatible with oneg. But you could imagine somebody who might be in the minority, somebody who's very anguished about a bad dream or the like, and they're going to be very distressed. And for them to fast and to know that that's helpful, that'll be more significant to getting a state of oneg than eating well. So theoretically, as a means to an end, fasting on Shabbos for a very small minority of situations might be more compatible with oneg than eating is. And so too, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, maybe there's a svara that fasting, if one perceives it that way, might be more compatible with Simchas Rosh Hashanah than eating. So perhaps we could appreciate that way. And I just want to add one point, which is relevant to us on the first day of Slichos for Ashkenazim. And it's a powerful point to think about. It ties into this whole discussion, that when it comes to our starting Slichos last night, so Ashkenazi practice is to start on the Motzi Shabbos that is close to Rosh Hashanah. The two criteria we use to determine is that it should be a Motzi Shabbos for the notion of Motzai Menucha and everything associated with that. But it should also be at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. So if Rosh Hashanah were later in the week, it could be the Motzi Shabbos before. And if it's like this year, Rosh Hashanah is earlier in the week, so we have to push it up to the previous Motzi Shabbos. So where do you get 4 days from? What's the inyan of 4 days? There are various explanations. But one is that we want the Aseres Yemei Tshuva to have 10 fastable days. So the problem is, 4 days are removed from the equation. Because every Aseres Yemei Tshuva, you'll have Shabbos there. You can't fast on Shabbos. Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah to eat. You can't fast on that day. And here, this is assuming that Rosh Hashanah, you're also not fasting. So you take those 2 days off. So you lose 4 fastable days. So we have to pull the experience earlier in order to get an additional 4 days. Now, if you think about that, there are many fascinating implications about that. I think Soloveitchik highlighted some of them. That, first of all, it suggests to us that Aseres Yemei Tshuva is not simply a calendaric coincidence. It's not basically that, okay, there are 10 days in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so we'll chop a rind to make those days the days of Tshuva. But it sounds like there is a real inyan of 10 days of Tshuva. And if you can't get them all in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, then you got to start early in order to fit them all in, which is itself a fascinating thought. It also helps us to appreciate that it's, again, not just about holding our breath during this time and trying not to get in any trouble, but there's an affirmative process of tshuva that's supposed to be happening during this time. And take it one step further, we think about the idea of them being fastable days. So that also should strike us, because I think most of us are not fasting the rest of those days, even after you subtract those 4. So it's not like we're fasting 6 days. We're fasting 2 of them, which is pretty good for any randomly selected part of the year. So we do have Tzom Gedalia and Yom Kippur. But still, we're not fasting every one of the days. So I think in this case, The point is not, as we often find, lo hasak v'hatayinus ikar. The point is not the fasting. The point is that it's a means to an end. So whatever it takes to motivate us, to push us into a place of recognizing things have to change, so that's going to be effective for tshuva. So if it's fasting that does it, so let it be fasting. But if it's not, and the Shulchan Aruch says that a guy in yeshiva should not add too many fast days because it drains him of his strength to be learning, so maybe it's not the mahalach for everybody. But to the extent that you can seek out the opportunities to look for growth and to look for what will make you move to change, make you grow. So that's what is our obligation in the Aser Semei Tshuva, and in this extended Aser Semei Tshuva that started last night, that started with the recitation of Slichos. It's a very powerful thought to think about along this process. And I'll just quickly review. We spoke about, we talked about this question of whether there is a mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah. Is Happy New Year an appropriate phrase on any level? And we saw that the various clues we would look at left us confused. The question of the Suda, there were six shitas. You can fast, you can't fast, you should fast. You can fast the second day, you can fast half a day, you can fast only if you're a super tzaddik. So we didn't know what to do with that. And the Shulchan Aruch concluded, Ochlin Hashosun Usmechim. And then we saw the question of whether the change in the Nusach HaTfilah to add in Vasiyenu, Sosun and Simcha. And we found Shulchan Aruch says not to say Sosun and Simcha. Then we discussed the question of Hallel, and Hallel left us also somewhat confused two different ways, the Gemara and the Rambam. The Gemara says that we're criticized for not saying Hallel, and then we're defended because the nature of the day makes it hard. And the Rambam's formulation is that these are days of Ein Meir Pachar and not Simcha Yisera, with the Brisker Rav commenting that there's a threshold, and the Simcha of Rosh Hashanah doesn't cross that threshold, apparently. And then we quoted the interpretation of the Vilna Gaon that's brought by the Shevet HaKohasi, the difference between Sosan and Simcha. Sosan is enjoyment in the moment. Simcha is a longer perspective sense of satisfaction and happiness. And Rosh Hashanah is really the second type. So that could explain the attitude towards the Suda to say that you can fast, but you don't have to fast. Maybe it's a recognition of the fact that eating on Yom Tov is a means to an end. So for the regalim, it's necessary because you can't have susan when you're fasting. But for Ashana, it's a little bit in a different direction. It's helpful overall, but if one feels that his confidence in Rosh Hashanah and the process will be better if he's fasting, maybe for that person that might make more sense. Similar to the idea of somebody fasting on Shabbos if he has a bad dream, and the Rishonim say that that is a path to greater oneg for this person, which is normally the reason for eating in the first place. And we applied this a little bit to Slichos, the question of why we start 4 days earlier, in order to give four more fastable days because of the four that are removed from the Aser Semei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, Shabbos, and the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So we noted there were several important messages there. One, that Aser Semei Tshuva is an affirmative concept of 10 days of Tshuva, even if they don't all fit in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And that it's something that we look to make something out of, not just to avoid trouble. And that fasting is apparently an ideal, but not necessarily ideal practically, but a model of seeking a method that will help us to really grow and to do tshuva. And whatever it is that will work for us, whatever it is that has meaning for us, that's something that we have to keep very much in mind as we continue in the stage that we have now begun, the extended Aser Semei Tshuva, beginning with the recitation of Slichos. All right, wish everyone a wonderful day. Bez Hashem, I'll see you at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.